Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology. Welcome. In addition to this podcast, I have a website at risingmoonastrology.com where you can find information about readings that I offer and how to contact me if you'd like to explore astrology one-on-one. I also am on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow me there. Currently, I'm podcasting for each new and full moon, but I do write shorter posts that I put on the website and Facebook and Instagram and can be mailed to you directly if you sign up for my mailing list on the website. So there are lots of ways to follow me, learn about what I do, and learn more about astrology, especially the astrology of the moon and her cycles. I am back with an overview for the waning cycle of this eclipse season that we're now in. And so what I'd like to do is begin with an overview of eclipses, eclipse cycles, eclipse seasons, so that we know where we are, which is at the beginning of an extended eclipse season that will include a whole series of eclipses across the Gemini-Sagittarius nodal axis. So, eclipses happen when either a new or a full moon lines up with the nodes of the moon. The nodes of the moon are not bodies in the sky, but points. They are the points where the orbit of the moon around the Earth intersects the orbit of the Earth around the sun. And so they always move retrograde relative to the rest of the chart. And they change signs about every 18 months, which means that for roughly 18 months, a little bit less typically, we have a series of eclipses in the same two signs. So the intensity of the eclipse focuses for about a year and a half across one axis of opposing signs in the zodiac, giving us opportunities to have a deep dive into those signs. So for the next little while, if you have Sirius, Gemini, and Sagittarius in your chart, you're going to be having eclipses in and around those placements. It happens that the eclipse we just had, the lunar eclipse in Gemini with the full moon on November 30th, is the opening of the Gemini-Sag eclipse series. Even though there was a lunar eclipse in Sagittarius on the 5th of June of this year. We count the November 30th one as the official beginning because it's typical for the new nodes to have a blip, like one eclipse before they start. So yes, we had a lunar eclipse in Sag on the 5th of June, but then we had two more Cancer Capricorn eclipses at the end of June and the beginning of July. The full moon we had just yesterday, a lunar eclipse in Gemini opens up a series. We'll have the solar eclipse at the new moon in Sagittarius on December 14th. We'll have a lunar eclipse in Sag on the 26th of May. We'll have a solar eclipse in Gemini on June 10th. Then another one will sneak in on November 19th of 2021. We'll have a lunar eclipse in Taurus. Then we'll return and have the final eclipse of the Gemini-Sag series for this time period on December 4th of 2021. It'll be a solar eclipse. On January 18th of 2022, the lunar nodes will shift into Taurus and Scorpio and will begin a roughly 18-month cycle in those signs. So that's how that works. We have a series of eclipses in the same two signs, lunar, solar, alternating, giving, as I said, that emphasis in these two signs. So now that we're in this Gemini-Sag time period, these are the signs to watch. Go ahead and check your birth chart and see what you've got going on in Gemini and Sagittarius, because chances are one or more of the eclipses coming up between now and December of 2021 are going to hit on your Gemini-Sag placements. Of course, for all of us, these eclipses will be falling across our Gemini and Sagittarius houses. So also check those, because those are the houses in which the eclipses will fall. This is a way to look ahead, be prepared, be anticipating where things might be shifting, changing, new beginnings, endings coming up for you between now and December of next year. Now, for this current waning cycle, let me give you the dates of the different phases as we're heading toward that new moon and total solar eclipse on the 14th of December. On Friday, December 4th, at 3:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll reach the disseminating moon, which will be in the sign of Cancer. On Saturday, December 5th, 9:41 a.m., we'll reach the waning trine moon, which will be a Leo moon, and that is within the disseminating moon phase. On Monday, December 7th, 7:37 p.m., we'll reach the last quarter moon, the square between the sun and moon. The moon will be in Virgo. Within the last quarter moon phase, on Thursday, December 10th, we will reach the waning sextile moon, which will be in the sign of Libra, and that will be 2:22 a.m. on that Thursday, December 10th. We'll reach the balsamic phase on Friday, December 11th at 4:50 in the morning with a moon in Scorpio. And then on Monday, December 14th at 11:17 a.m., we'll reach the new moon and total solar eclipse in Sagittarius. Those are the key points in our waning cycle that we're now diving into. So let's take a more detailed look at those stops along the way between now and that upcoming new moon.
Thank you.
The disseminating moon in the sign of Cancer on Friday, December 4th, will be, it's going to feel like a significant shift from the full moon energy. The full moon was in Gemini. There was a more upbeat feel, mutable signs, the curious, clever energy of Gemini, the sun in Sagittarius. And with this disseminating moon, we're back in the Cancer-Capricorn axis because this is a late Cancer moon, 27 degrees of Cancer, which means that it's going to be opposing that Capricorn group. So my key word for this disseminating moon is crisis. That after getting a glimpse of changes to come with that Gemini full moon, yes, lunar eclipses often bring endings, but there was a sense with this one of getting that sense of what might be coming and having an emotional tone that was more optimistic and hopeful than what we've been in. Now, when we hit the disseminating phase, we're back in the, oh my God, it's still 2020. We haven't actually left it yet. A moon in Cancer is emotionally vulnerable. We're probably going to be feeling that. The disseminating phase is one in which we're meant to be sharing. So keep in mind that we might not actually feel like sharing that much for this disseminating moon. If that's what happens for you, that's fine. What I would suggest is that you share privately. That in order to recognize, honor, potentially do some processing around whatever emotional vulnerabilities come up, you meditate. You write in a journal, you do some creative work, something that will share in the sense of getting those emotions out into form in some way that allows you to get a bit of perspective on them. My key word for the waning trine moon in Leo is warmth. Because that very next morning, we're going to have a grand trine in fire, since both the sun and moon are applying to trine Mars. And that also, of course, brings in the south node of the moon in Sagittarius, because the Sag sun is getting closer and closer to that south node. Which means that this waning trine is really a kite with the Gemini North Node at the top. I think that this configuration is going to allow Mars to feel a bit more stable and happier, because even though Mars is direct now, he's still struggling with difficult aspects to the Capricorn group, trying to pick up speed and make up ground from his retrograde. So I think these trines and the whole kite configuration is going to bring in a chance for some warmth and healing, a better flow of energy. It may not last forever, but it's a trine. It's here. We can take advantage of it. Mercury, newly in Sagittarius, will trine Chiron on the same day as this sun-moon Mars trine. When we can give voice to what's hurting, that also can open the door to healing. Neptune in Pisces will continue to square the nodes this whole phase, this whole waning phase, just as it did in the waxing phase. So this confusion, which Neptune can bring in the presence of these other aspects at the waning trine, can be transmuted to something creative and healing. Partly because there's another trine to Neptune from Venus and Scorpio. which means that this is not a superficial moment. Something deep can happen. So on the day, Saturday, December 5th, bask in this warmth. Do something passionate. Do something creative. Take advantage of this flow of energy and heal. Feel good. On Monday, December 7th, we get to the last quarter moon in Virgo. And Virgo wants to know about the details. So the last quarter is a square, sun, moon, square, which given where Neptune is on the other side, opposing the moon, also squaring the nodes, we suddenly have a grand cross in the mutable signs. Now, mutable means flexible, and it's not as tough of a grand cross as either cardinal or fixed, but still there's some balancing here that needs to be done. And the challenge, because last quarter squares are always a challenge, is the Virgo moon asking, okay, so what's the plan? We've had the emotional vulnerability of the Cancer moon. We've had the passion and creative warmth of the Leo moon. Now we're with Virgo, and Virgo wants to know, what is the plan? What are the steps? But in order to reach a goal, we need to do the Virgo piece. So that Monday, December 7th is going to be the day to figure out what the next steps are. This last quarter moon wants us to slow down a little, clarify our goals, and figure out what happens next. This might not be the most fun moment of the waning cycle, but it is an important step. This is how we move forward. Within that last quarter phase, we reach a waning sextile between the sun and moon, which is another moment of insight and understanding. This one is with a Libra moon, and it creates a balancing point, a fulcrum, if you will, of another kind. Because we've got a complex setup here with this particular Libra moon that brings Mars back into the mix. So, waxing sextile, moon is sextile the sun. Because the sun is moving to conjunct the south node, that means the moon is also trining the north node and is also opposing Mars in Aries. So Mars is trining the south node and sextiling the north node. We've got this kind of magical rectangle where the trines cross in the middle, and of course, Libra is all about balance. So the insight, I think, that we can gain at this waxing sextile is to realize that in order to move forward, we've got to balance reflection and action, Libra and Aries, and also the past and future of the south and north nodes. If we can find that balance point, we may be able to move toward our goals without the sense of constant struggle that we have faced so much this year. On Friday, December 11th, we get to the balsamic moon, and it will be in the sign of Scorpio. This is a great sign for the moon to be in for the balsamic phase, because it is a dark phase. It has to do with facing up to what we need to let go of. Except that this balsamic moon is moving to oppose Uranus and Taurus. So that's going to shift things up. That's going to bring in the unexpected. It will feel like the shadowy ground we're walking on is somehow shifting under our feet. We may find that we get unexpected opportunities where we're asked, You want to let this go? You want to hold on to it? Which is it going to be, yes or no? So take the time to do the emotional, creative, and planful preparation so that by the time we get to the balsamic moon and Uranus throws open those windows of opportunity and says, you're going to keep this? You're going to let it go? That we know what our answer is. Yes, I'm ready to let this go. Take it, please. I'm done with it. Or no. No, I really want to keep this. I'm not ready to give it up. I think it's going to be important for me. Uranus does not require a yes. Uranus is perfectly satisfied with a no. What Uranus does do is ask us to make up our mind. We'll get that window of opportunity, but it won't stay open very long. And of course, by Monday morning, December 14th, we're going to be at the new moon in Sagittarius, which will also be a total solar eclipse. We won't see it at all in North America or Europe. It will be a southerly eclipse, so far south, in fact, that it's only going to be total in parts of the South Pacific and South Atlantic and Chile and Argentina, but it's still a total solar eclipse, and we still need to pay attention to it. Of course, I'll be unpacking that a lot more as we get closer to it. So this is the overview for the next couple of weeks. This is an important month in what has been an important year. It will be good to pay attention and follow the patterns and do the work, because these last 2 weeks of December, from the new moon in Sag to the following full moon in the sign of Cancer, is going to be packed with big changes. So we'll be ending out this crazy year with a bunch of changes in the second half, which means this waning cycle is our opportunity to get ready. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, wishing you the best possible ending to 2020. One that brings you safely to the end of this year and opens up new windows and doors of possibility and hope. It's been a hell of a ride. I, too, will be glad when this year closes out. I am looking forward to the changes we'll be talking about when I come around again with the overview for the next waxing cycle. In the meantime, join me on this current journey. And as always, thank you for listening.